We heard this morning the second parable in Matthew's Gospel about seeds. Probably not so well known or so well loved as the one about the sower and the seed. But as with that parable, later in the chapter we're given an explanation. The sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the people of the kingdom of God. The bad seeds are the people of evil, and the sower of the weeds is the devil. So that would seem to have told us all we need to know about that parable, and we can all go home. But I'm afraid there's more questions to be asked, and from that maybe more answers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, unlike many parables of the time, this parable is not true to life. As any gardeners amongst you or any farmer will tell you, to leave weeds in a plot or in the field is just a recipe for disaster. The weeds will flourish first, and they will choke off the flowers or the crop that you are actually wanting to grow. The only way to ensure a good display or a good harvest is to make sure you tackle the weeds early and root them out before they get a chance to become established. But in this parable, the servants go running to their master with the tale about the weeds and ask, should we pull them out? And the master says, no, leave them until harvest time, and then they can be pulled out and burned. In the life of garden or field, that wouldn't work. But of course, this parable is teaching an eternal truth which is far more important than any horticultural truth. The truth which Christ is telling here is the truth about God's time. God's time is different from our time. And God's time is always the right time for action to be taken. Now, a wee boy had been promised by his dad that if it was nice on Saturday, they were going fishing. All week, the sun had shone as it had done for weeks before. But just like yesterday, when the wee boy woke up, it was chucking it down and it looked set in for the day. The wee boy was not happy, and he was heard to run about the house muttering, surely God knows enough to know that today had to be dry and yesterday could have been wet. And he was in a right bad temper. His father, comfortably ensconced in a chair reading a book, tried to explain to him that the rain was badly needed for the garden and in the fields, but the wee boy was not convinced. Then at 3 o'clock, the clouds parted, and Dad said they could go fishing for a wee while. So off they went happily, and whether it was because of the rain or not, the fish were jumping, and they came home with a good catch, which was prepared and made ready for their supper. And just before they started the meal, Mum turned to the wee boy and said, well, would you like to say grace? Yes, he said, and ended the grace with, Lord, if I sounded a bit grumpy earlier today, it was because I couldn't see far enough ahead. We can't see far enough ahead in spiritual terms. We don't have God's perspective. And because we don't have God's perspective, we don't understand sometimes God's timing. We rarely understand it. God in the parable says, leave the weeds. They'll be dealt with later. Later, the problem will be dealt with at the right moment. Too often, we get impatient with God. We pray. We want instant answers. We have doubts. We want them taken away now. We have needs, and we want them satisfied at this moment. But instantly, now and at this moment, may not be the right time for us. God knows the right time, and he will give us what we need at the right time, in his own time. We all spend too much of our time wondering what we're going to do if something were to happen. What will we do if a parent becomes unable to look after themselves? How will we cope if we're left on our own? What will happen to us if something happens to someone else? We wonder, we might panic, sometimes we go to pieces. God loves us, and God has promised that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, he is with us. And if we look back on our life, we know that's true, because we've experienced his love and care at other times of uncertainty, of loss, of bewilderment. God's time. He will be there for us. He will supply the strength we need, but he supplies it when we need it, not before. We can't stockpile all the attributes we may need when we face a crisis. We just have to trust in God that he will provide when it's necessary. And if we do that, a lot of unnecessary worry and angst could be saved by just trusting God and trusting God's time. God has his own time, and he also never gives up. Maybe God wanted the weeds to be left because he hadn't given up on them. As creator, maybe he felt that if they were left to grow, they might grow into good plants. Now, whether or not that's true, what is true is that God never gives up. The Bible is full of people that God did not give up on. David, the wonderful king, but the oh-so-fallible man. Peter, the rock, but the rock with quite a big flaw in him. Never gave up on Saul, the zealous Pharisee, intent on destroying the new Jewish movement before it really got started. And God, he never gave up on Jacob. Now, in the story of Jacob, we have a character whom right from his birth, if not before, was out for number one. You'll remember that Jacob was the younger twin son of Isaac and Rebekah, who even before his birth was fighting with his brother Esau. When he was born, he came into the world holding on to Esau's ankle as though he was trying to move him out the way so that he would be the firstborn. He then conned Esau out of his birthright and conned his father to give him the firstborn's blessing. And he was at the point of this morning's story, he was running away from his family because of all those machinations, because the family were angry with him. And it was at this point that he met God in a dream. The dream with the stairway to heaven with angels going up and down it. The dream where God was beside him. And in this dream, God promised, as he had promised Abraham and Isaac, he promised Jacob the land and many descendants. He promised Jacob all that he could ever ask for, and also promised him his constant protection and his presence. God hadn't given up on Jacob. His family most certainly had. And he didn't give up on Jacob even when Jacob's reply showed that Jacob was only conditionally going to follow him. Jacob, when he awoke and when he thought about the dream, dedicated the place to God. He called it Bethel, the house of God. But the dedication was very qualified. Jacob said he would promise to worship God and to give him a tenth of all that he had, but only if God would protect him, give him food and clothing, and bring him safely home. Then, and only then, would Jacob worship and tithe. But still, God didn't give up on Jacob. And that's good news for us. We're maybe rarely so abrupt or so open with God, but we still have to admit that at times our dealing with God can sometimes have a conditional ring to them. Help me now, God, and I will worship every week. Help me in this difficult situation, and I'll read my Bible every day. I'll keep praying, God, if you help my friend. Help me, and don't worry, God, I'll give you a fitting proportion of my material goods. Help me now, God, and I will become a better person. Now, God knows when we're being conditional. He knows when we're doing a Jacob, and yet still he sticks with us because he never gives up on us. He stays with us, being beside us, wanting us to change, wanting us to give ourselves wholeheartedly to him, and he waits in the hope that in time we will be changed by his Spirit into the people he knows we can be. He didn't give up on Jacob, and he doesn't give up on us. He never gave up on the chosen people. The people of Israel, over the centuries and millennia, must have given God much heartache, but he never gave up on them. They wanted freedom from slavery, and he led them out of Egypt. Then they became frightened in the wilderness and moaned they were starving, so he fed them with manna from heaven. He gave to their leader the Ten Commandments, but when he got back to camp, the Israelites were worshipping the golden calf. They came to the Promised Land, and they immediately forgot the commandments. They wanted a king. He gave them Saul. They didn't like Saul. They gave him David. They lost their sense of justice and mercy to others, so the prophets were sent to remind them. They imprisoned them, ridiculed them, ignored them. They wanted a Messiah. One was sent, but he didn't meet up to their expectations, so they ignored him as well. The Israelites weren't the easiest race to be God's chosen race, but God has never given up on them. And he hasn't given up on our society, a society where, for too many, God's name is only an oath, where love of neighbor is replaced by love of self, where good looks are considered more important than good character, where millions of pounds are spent trying to keep wrinkles at bay when millions of men, women, and children are dying for want of simple food, where our young people carry knives for protection or acid and then are shocked when they're used, when staff at a hospital are getting death threats because they're looking after a critically sick baby. And what seems to be most important just now is what you get out of life being more important than what you put into it. Every week, people are giving up on our society, but God hasn't. He loves this time as much as he's loved any time. He's still in the world. He's still standing beside us, quietly waiting for us to wake up to his presence, to listen to his word, and to act on his word. We may feel at times like giving up, but God doesn't. He just waits and waits and calls us to his side. In Strathclyde Park years ago, there used to be a walk from the mausoleum to the loch side that went under an underpass beneath the M74. And I often walked there with my previous dog, Gilly, who from her height of a Westie's 1 foot in the air, when she went into the tunnel, it was dark. She couldn't see the end of it. She didn't like it. But from my perspective of over 5 foot, I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I knew we were safe to go through it. God always sees the light at the end of the tunnel. So God knows the right time for things to happen. God never gives up. He hasn't given up in the past. He won't give up on the present, and he won't give up on the future. He's prepared to give us time to change and for our society to change. He's also prepared to harvest the crop when the time is right. So pray God that we are given the time to prepare to be with him, to learn from him, and to be guided by him as Jacob was eventually. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, restore, strengthen, and establish you. All power belongs to him forever and ever. Amen.